Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome to New Life Live. I'm so excited you're with us, and I'm also excited that Dr. Jill Hubbard is in the house right here.
Yes.
Sitting next to me. And J.J. West. Wow. Got to be on a program with him just recently, and he's amazing. J.J., welcome. I'm taking notes on you, buddy.
A new fave.
Absolutely.
It's another 3J day.
It's three. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, it's really good to have you all with us, but it's especially good to have you listeners with us. And it's going to be a great program today. It's always a great program here at New Life Live. Jill, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have been thinking a lot about kind of the seasons of life. And I know last time we were on, Steve did a New Life moment about seasons of life. And have you ever noticed that when something happens, it seems like it starts happening to a lot of people? And it seems like just even situationally, we go through seasons, right? Like seasons where people lose people. Right? Where there's a death and then there's another one. I know I have several people right now who have lost significant people, or there's diagnoses. And it seems to like, okay, a lot of people are suffering with that. And I think about, so I always think about Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, where it talks about that there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for everything under heaven, right? A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted. And so I think about that as our callers call in. Mm-hmm. They're all in going through some season.
Right.
And what's important to remember is that seasons don't last forever.
Right.
Now, sometimes we blur our seasons, and it feels like some seasons go on really long. Mm-hmm. Right? And others are much shorter. And I always remember Dave Stoop talking about, you know, just wait, Jill, as you get older, the seasons go much, much faster.
Right.
So I think it's important, one, to reflect when we're going through something. Okay, this is a season. And is it a season maybe, am I at a place where I could dig in a little more deeply so that I'm not bringing those past seasons with me?
Yeah.
Or as we're looking at other people in our lives, it's also important to look at the fact that people are in different stages developmentally, right? And so we get a lot of parents calling about kids. And it's really unsettling, you know, when you're at an age where you're trying to maybe give back to society, right? Or to kind of reaping what you've sowed. And your kids are up in arms and going crazy and can't seem to figure life out, right? It's important to look at and say, okay, what is their stage of life and the season they're in? And can I remember what it was like for me? What were my unanswered questions? And what could my parents not have told me that I needed to do and figure out for myself? And then to give them the room to be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's so good that you said that about kids, because I said to a woman last Friday, I said, well, do you remember what it was like when you were 15?
No, she, I know. I have to say that to myself a lot.
it's a great thing to do if you're a parent, especially if you're a parent of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So key. Well, that's awesome. Embrace the season, but don't bring all these other seasons into it, too.
Right. And realize that this season won't last forever.
Yeah, so. Very, very good. Well, we'll be right back. J.J. West with us today, all the way from Florida, and Dr. Jill Hubbard. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Stephen Artiburn. And again, we're so happy that you're with us today on this very special day. And we're going to be taking calls, and we're excited about you giving us a call and being able to have the kind of conversation that might just be the breakthrough conversation that you need. And, well, I'm going to pray that it is. Anyway, we're so glad you're calling. And we'll take calls in just a moment. We'll be right back. New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artiburn with a New Life Moment. Some of my best childhood memories were generated in the lake house built by my grandfather and his five sons. When we outgrew the cabin, a new addition was built. It, however, had one major flaw. My grandfather hadn't calculated into the ceiling height the fact that the new addition had a foundation that was about 12 inches higher than the original cabin. So the ceiling in the new area was a foot shorter than it was supposed to be. You felt like you needed to hunch over, and if you weren't looking, you'd walk right into the ceiling fan and injure yourself for life. All because my stubborn grandfather wouldn't listen to his boys who told him from the beginning that something was very wrong with the plans. Is stubbornness affecting your relationships? For some tips on how you can lovingly relate to others and stop having to hunch over all the time, visit newlife.com. I'm Stephen Artimer, and thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
Good input by Steve.
Yeah, stubbornness.
Yes.
None of us struggle
with
that.
Yeah, none of us are stubborn, of course. And none of our listeners, of course, are stubborn either. And again, what Steve said was you can go to New Life Live and you can go to our website, and there are so many great tips and videos. I know Jill and I just did a really cool video that's on the website. You can get a lot of great info. And, of course, you can also subscribe to the podcast, get the app. There are so many ways for you to get to us. And don't hesitate to give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can even – there's a new thing that I just heard about, Jill, that now people can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And they can actually leave a message, and it's another way of – they can ask the question.
Oh, wow.
If they don't want to be on the air.
Great.
Somebody said it was
– or if they have the question when we're not on the air.
We're not on the air. That's
right?
Totally
that
good.
That would be awesome.
So very, very good. I love that, and I love all the ways that New Life is helping and actually transforming life. So it's so good. And again, JJ, you're so much a part of that. And Jill, you are so much a part of it with all the intensives and the wonderful things. So anyway, I said 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And since I'm the rookie here host, it's 888-NEW-LIFE. You're going to be calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE and wondering why you aren't on that voice line. And it's 1-888.
To leave those verbal questions. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah. I appreciate that. Well, we're going to go directly to Joe. He's in Carmel, California, and he watches us on YouTube. I mean, that's why you dress so nice, Jill, because you're on YouTube
what?
And you're – well, you always dress nice. And I'm not in a T-shirt today, but usually I am. Anyway, Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Joe always looks nice, and it's really nice.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
And I really appreciate the time. I have a question about when you, like, I guess it kind of combines the serenity prayer and God's timing and trust, but the idea that, not everybody's life goes like they say on TV or in the movies, and the idea that spent a lot of time just getting knocked down, getting back up, and I guess what do you do when you're almost afraid? I guess a lot of it is, I've read the book Emotional Freedom. I'm wondering, most of my life I struggled with emotions, and then as I've gotten older and I'm dealing with injuries now, and I'd like to have the body that I have when I was younger and just be where I am at emotionally now. But the idea that life doesn't wait, and I'm just wondering, when you do feel alone, and the healthier you get and you tend to drop, I guess, it seems like the more I learn, the less I know, the more I grow. The harder it is to connect or to find, not only to give love like Jesus, but to find it from others. Because I know that a lot of times when you give a lot of yourself and you're giving the support, a lot of that time it's usually the very support that you'd like in your own life. At least that's what I recognize in my own. And I found it very difficult to, I haven't given up, but I keep asking for that, but then there's opportunity costs as I've it's taken a lot of time, and I have a online counselor, thank God, because he moved, and I can still talk with him, and I've had to separate from my mother before she passed, and I'd given care to both my parents, even though my mother was the nurse, and as soon as after she left, I went right to my father and got through that, and kept them going to the very end. And then here I am. I think I've shared my story before in here. Jill might remember, but basically, I've kind of been caregiving to some degree since I was 13, when I almost lost my mother. And then, but I've found that I've had to separate. Like, in, I guess it was yesterday's last caller, they were talking about boundaries and things, and how got to a point in my family where it was just so toxic, or at least a group that's gaslit the rest of my father's side of the family, and any support I get. So it's almost become, I've gotten kind of stuck, because I feel like damned if I do and damned if I don't.
If you had a question, and Joe, if you had a question for us, what would it be? I feel like we have a good, clear picture on what you're talking about. And appreciate you actually bringing up the serenity prayer. Mm-hmm. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's a great prayer.
Well, but, and can I just say first, Joe, I'm hearing just this kind of reflection and a little bit of angst and maybe disappointment that life is difficult, right? And at different stages, we have limitations, like at every stage. And you're talking about working through things emotionally, but then physically, you're struggling, right? Just when you're finally feeling better, then you're struggling physically, and how there's always these limitations, I think, in some ways, to remind us that we need Jesus, right? And our dependence is on him, and we never fully arrive. And that also, as we grow in life, not everyone chooses to grow. And so whatever you have had in your life, if you haven't chosen to deal with it, to grow, to develop yourself, it will get worse. And so that's where I think you start to see the gap. And I have clients who talk about this. It's like it gets lonelier the healthier they get in some ways, right? Because some people choose to just kind of let their life kind of slide and regress instead of really trying to grow and push towards that finish line in doing it well. And so there are relationships that go by the wayside, or you just don't invest in as much because they're not growth-oriented. And you become more selective.
And you're all really young, but the idea that as you get older,
thank you, Joe.
Seems to go.
I thought you watched us on YouTube here.
Yeah, Joe, I thought you were watching us. I used to be the young one here.
Made me turn it off so I could wait for the call.
Yeah. Like, okay.
So pardon me. I guess my memory lapsed. But the
it's a compliment,
and
especially with Jill.
I don't want to take anything away from that. Okay, back to the point. What happens though is in the struggle to grow and to fight and continue to, and I realize too. I remember the idea too that God won't always take all your character flaws away or whatever, because he wants to remind you that you do need him. But I'm at the point now where I don't need any more reminders. I'm pretty much been humbled and taken down to the point.
I got
point.
The message, God. I got the message.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. And, you know, at points where, okay, did he get my name wrong? It really is just J-O-E, not J-O-B. And I'm like, all you have to do is watch the news or read the Bible if you start to feel sorry for yourself, because you realize, or even just what Jesus went through, it's just an amazing gift, and I understand that and thankful for that.
Yeah.
But just even like in my Bible study fellowship or my fellowships, it's so hard to connect, especially in the men groups. It's really difficult. Like I see, I envy the women, like especially after COVID, how so many women came back, but a lot of the men got distracted and moved on, or churches collapsed or different things. But getting back to my stuff, I just want to know, sometimes reaching out for help or people or just human nature, like I've been hurt by people, especially in the faith. Like, it's so much easier to be judgmental and obviously easier to see the faults in others than it is in yourself. But the idea that when you're crying and hurting, like I fell apart in my men's group a while back, and everybody was concerned at first and everything, but then nothing came out of that, and then I ended up back alone and just struggling because everyone is, it's almost like they're looking for a reason. Everybody's so busy and caught up in, you know, like they say, no one's for you or against you. They're just caught up in their own stuff.
JJ, what do you think? Why don't you comment on it?
I hear, Joe, so much in your story of suffering, pain, and feeling overlooked and forgotten. And I'm so sorry that that's been the majority of your experience. And the truth is, you know, in the church, we say this at the Every Man's Battle Intensive, we don't really have a good theology for slow-moving miracles. Mm. Like, we're all about the Damascus Road events, right? the bright, shining light, knocked on your butt, get up, and everything's changed. But the stories of Joseph and Job, where there's this long suffering, there's these, you know, incredibly long seasons of pain and heartache and disenfranchisement and broken relationships, and we go, oh, that's too difficult. I want it quicker. I want it faster. I want to see the redemption now, rather than waiting. And what's so interesting, because you did reference the Serenity Prayer, and we're all very familiar with that first third because it's on the coins, and we memorize that part. But it's that second and third third that there's some real meat there, right? Because it's in that second third where it says, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Mm. That God designed, he's not the author of hardship, but he designed it where it's through that pathway of hardship that I experience peace, that I learn peace, and that I learn to take, as Jesus did, this sinful world, not as I would have it, but as it is, right? There's a powerful truth in that flies in the face of that, please take away the pain instantly. Please take away the heartache instantly. Make this better now. And I get that. I mean, man, when I'm suffering, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to be patient, and I certainly don't want to be told to be patient. So I'm on thin ice here telling you that, right? I don't want to hear that. But what I do need to be reminded of is that God is the one who comes and inhabits my suffering, right? He's the suffering servant. And so he comes and he sits with me in my pain. He's with me in my sorrow. He's with me in my loss. He's with me in the heartache of seeing, you know, people show up for a little while but then fade away. He's with me in all of that. And that's what teaches me peace. That's what teaches me how to have serenity. That's what teaches me how to grow. That's what teaches me to more and more cling to him. And so as much as I am sad that you've experienced so much sorrow, and I wish it wasn't the case for you, Joe, what I am grateful for is that you know a God who walks with you through your pain, who walks with you through your heartache, and never, ever leaves you. He's not like fair weather friends. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's the one who's with you always to the end.
JJ, that is so good, and we're going to come back and get Jill's perspective after the break. Joe, I hope that's helpful. I was taking notes on JJ. That was good stuff. And I know, you know, you said you're a caregiver, and when you're a caregiver, a lot of times caregivers need people to love and care for them. And I'm sorry that's not happening in your men's group. Maybe it's going to be an individual, or you're going to have to keep leaning into those replenishing relationships. I also like what JJ said when he talked about instant. We want everything changing in an instant. I just heard this good thing Easter is a season and not just a day, because some miracles take time, and that's what we're talking about today. And we are talking about miracles. We're so glad that you can join us, and we'll be back. We're going to keep on talking with Joe, and then if you're holding, we'll be with you. I'm Jim Burns. Don't go away.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Steve Arterburn today. We're with J.J. West and Jill Hubbard. Jill, JJ gave some great input.
Oh, I know. JJ, that was great.
Yeah.
But so I just wanted to add just a little bit more for Joe, in that his disappointment is real, in that I think in groups of men, depending on what you're hoping for, what your expectation is, you can be let down a lot, because a lot of men, I mean women too, but aren't well-versed in the long-suffering. They want to do the quick-fix answers, right? And a lot of men aren't as comfortable with their pain or with emotion. And so, but I would challenge you to not give up and just understand that these people have limitations. You're a natural caregiver, so probably it's hard because you could easily care for them, like you said, in the ways that you are wanting to be cared for. And that's good. And do some of that within reason. But I'm also thinking maybe, and because you mentioned the Serenity Prayer, maybe you already do this, often 12-step groups have people that can endure a bit more, right? They're at least admitting their shortcomings, their pain, and it's a group where you can sit in it and they don't tire of hearing what you're talking about. And in that, in getting sponsors, a sponsor is also a great addition to also your therapist. It's someone that you can call, you know, at random times, right? And get some encouragement from and some containment. And so maybe seeking out, you know, think of the group that fits you best, right? Maybe it's a for caregivers, maybe it's a codependency group. Or, you know, there's in Life Recovery or Celebrate Recovery, there's all different kinds of groups.
And when you're talking about a sponsor, that's a really good idea because a sponsor is there. I mean, they feel that's part of their calling as well.
Right.
So that's a really
That's their role, and it's designed, right? Yeah. I'm the sponsor, you're the sponsee.
Yeah.
So it's a place where you can go and receive and not just always be the caregiver.
And I appreciate you bringing up the 12 Steps or Celebrate Recovery or any of those. You know, my small group, none of us have an addiction like you would go to for, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous. But, you know, we went through the 12 steps. It was one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I have ever had. And it was beautiful. It was
done a lot of, you know, kind of off-Broadway 12 steps, right? They aren't the main ones. We kind of create our own topic and we go, okay, we're doing the 12 steps, you know, around ADHD, around, random things.
But anyway, that's great. Joe, I hope that's been helpful. And by the way, thank you for watching on YouTube. Thank you for saying nice things about Jill. And anyway, we're grateful
that you
are a part of the New Life family, because I know you are. I want to give you a book by Steve Arterburn called The One-Year Bible for Men. That's been really helpful for me personally. In 1983, I started reading The One-Year Bible. And, you know, I do it every year. And it gives me comfort when I'm bugged at somebody, that Bible's going to come through. And I'm always amazed at what scriptures jump out each day. It takes discipline, but it really is worth it. So we're gonna throw that at you. And we're going to take another call here. We're going to take Lisa in San Francisco. Lisa, welcome to the show. How can we help you?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I appreciate all of you. I actually walked away from a relationship that was extremely, it was emotional bondage. It was toxic. It was full of lies, deceit. He was admitted mama's boy. He told his friends everything, his family, everything, every inch of, you know, if we went to the store, they knew we went to the store. Later, it seeped out that he was doing some gambling. And my question is, because I see I have a friend that kind of went through the same thing. But however, my question is, what is wrong with me that I would attract this type of person? And I know you guys said earlier, I heard someone say that when you are safe and secure, you will attract safe and secure people. So my question is, what do I do to become safe and secure? Because this this whole situation was just a long road, but it was amazing how things just seeped out. But none of this I saw from the beginning. So I'm like, what is it about me?
Lisa, that's a great question to be asking. It's a growth question. And also, I want to congratulate you on walking away from an unsafe relationship. So you've already started that process, and then to ask, hey, what about me? What? How can I learn? And I'm going to throw it to Jill, and then we'll take JJ. Jill, go ahead.
Well, Lisa, we attract to people in kind of, it's almost like magnetic or radar, right? We unconsciously attract to certain types of people. And it often has to do with things either that we lack or that are unresolved from earlier times in life. So we can even think that we're choosing someone the exact opposite, but it's same person in a different outfit, right? And so it can be tricky that way, but it means that we have some work to do at resolving some of those things.
Yeah, and let's hold that thought, and then we'll come back to you, Lisa, after the break. And by the way, on April 13th, we have Every Man's Battle Intensive. It's going to be online. And if you go to the website and look at the event page, you'll actually see videos of JJ, who's with us today. You'll hear from past attendees, articles, and a link to the podcast. There's actually a Every Man's Battle podcast that's incredible and wonderful. We want to invite you to that. But when we come back, we're going to deal with Lisa, and so many of us need the courage to walk away from unsafe relationships. And also, we need to know what's going on with ourselves. And so she's asking the right questions. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to New Life Live. I'm Jim Burns, filling in today for Stephen Arterburn. We're thrilled you're with us. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Steve Arterburn today. We're with Dr. Jill Hubbard, J.J. West. And this has been a great conversation. And Lisa, I think she's bringing up some great thoughts because she had the courage to walk away from a unsafe relationship.
Yeah.
But then she also is saying, so what can I do? How can I learn from this? Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people are in relationships and then they go into the next relationship and then the next, and they never make a change in their own life.
Well, right, because they believe the myth that I just haven't found the right person yet.
Right,
and if I find that right person, it's just going to all click.
Yes.
And we forget to work on the fact that we need to be the right person. And I think, Lisa, that's kind of what you're asking. How do I become safe and secure so that that's what I attract? Because, yes, when we're healthier and when we know what our issues are, right, we actively don't choose that, and we attract someone that's safer and more secure. And so already in your growth, Lisa, the recognizing and walking away is a total growth step, right? And the goal over time is to walk away sooner, right? And then to eventually not pick what you know to be as toxic, to be able to see those red flags. But you do that by working on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, he ultimately points you back to yourself and working on your issues. So you may think, but I'm always working on my issues. I've been working on them forever. Great. And then continue to do so. And maybe, you know, be in relationships where people are truthful and honest. That may be a therapy relationship, best friends, and where you can run by your dating with people. I always worry when I'm going to a wedding and I've never met the person's, you know, fiance, right? And I'm a, if they're a close friend, that's kind of a red flag. Why don't we know who you're about to marry? Or why, you know, haven't we had some input in your life?
Well, you know, that's one of the red flags. I wrote a book on getting ready for marriage.
Yeah.
And one of the red flags is, what does the community think? And if the
yes.
community doesn't mm-hmm. know, or the community hasn't mm-hmm. spoken into it, or if they've spoken negatively about it,
yes.
you've got to really listen to your community. So that's one thing that Lisa can do, you mm-hmm. know, definitely is listen to her community, asking some of the same questions that she's asking us today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, JJ?
Yeah. Oh, I love this because we're all sharing the same brain this afternoon.
Yes, we are.
Wonderful. Because I wrote down the exact same things, right? Enlist the help of others. That might be enlisting the help of a counselor to help me look at what are the things in me that might be broken that I'm trying to resolve in unhealthy relationships. But also, yes, God gives us wisdom in the counsel of many. That's what Scripture tells us. Mm-hmm. There's great wisdom in the counsel of many. And so do I have other people who are giving me input on my life? Who I choose to date, what they're like, right? Like, why don't I want to get more impact, because none of us on our own can fully know the mind of Christ. But Colossians tells us that we corporately have the mind of Christ. And so I want to include other people in that process. That's so important. And to look at not just the behaviors that you found to be unappealing in this previous relationship. Okay, mm-hmm. he gambled and he talked to everyone about our... You know, things that we were going on in our relationship. He was a mama's boy, but look at what is underneath that. What's the way that he does relationship? Okay, he overshares things that he should keep to himself, and he hides things that he should reveal.
Mm.
Right? He's not honest in the things that he should be honest about, like his gambling, but he's too honest about the things that really should be kept between the two of us, should be kept confidential, right? So there's a pattern of relating that you want to look at, not just mm-hmm. the behavior itself.
That's really good.
And then, mm-hmm. to also mm-hmm. look at, okay, so what was going on in my life and in the relationship that I didn't see the red flags? You said I didn't notice any of this until after the fact. But oftentimes those red flags are there. They may not be in the same degree that once we get into the relationship we see them. But usually there are some red flags. Was I intentionally overlooking the red flags? Do I get so enamored by the newness of love that I'm not willing to look at the other side of the coin? Right? So be willing to examine, what is it about me that I'm unwilling or unable to see some of those red flags early on in a relationship.
Yeah, and even asking the question, mm-hmm. you know, what attracted me to this person?
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking that.
And when,
yeah.
and however you answer that, sometimes you say, well, did we rush into it? I find a lot of times in mm-hmm. relationships is we're all hungry for relationships. And so
yeah.
we rush into it. We don't look at those flags that you were talking about, JJ. And when we rush into it, we think we're in love, but we've rushed into it. Even romantically, we've rushed into it. When mm-hmm. in fact, you know, there's a man named Dr. Ray Short, who's a professor at the University of Wisconsin on relationships. And he says it takes almost 2 years for someone to know the difference between infatuation and love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met my wife the very first day. I said, I want to marry that girl. Well, I wanted to marry the beauty and the wonderful personality and all that. I fell in love with her, and it took more time than yeah. that, of course. And I think that's yeah. the kind of thing, Lisa, that you'll want to look at as well. What drew me to this guy? Is this some kind of a not a flaw, but is this something in my own life that I need to look into?
Well, and I think, yeah. too, you don't want to swing to the complete opposite side of the spectrum and be hypercritical of a person's every move. So there's a little bit in dating, Lisa, where you need to kind of let it play out a little bit, right? You mm-hmm. need to go on mm-hmm. some dates. You need to kind of mm-hmm. see the person, and maybe, you know, if you like enough to go on a second date, okay, well, mm-hmm. how is this person after a sixth date? And just,
right.
you know, be aware without being hypercritical. Right.
Right. Is there a willingness right. on their part to change?
Mm-hmm.
If a flaw is showing up in the relationship and you point it out, are they willing to say, you know what, you're right, I don't want to do that, I don't want to treat you that way, I'm going to work on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to look for that, not demand perfection from someone.
Yeah, and we can't demand perfection. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I just also say, I want to echo what you both have said, you know, to just, you know, applaud Lisa. Thank you so much for your willingness to care about yourself, to walk away, and then your willingness to turn the, you know, the camera lens on yourself to say, I want to look at my own brokenness here and not just pin it all on the other person. That's a, an incredible amount of maturity on your part. So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. And I'm giving her the personal growth award for the listener of the day. Personal growth. Because that's a great thing for all of us to do. We we need to be able to do that. And we can't, we got talking about dating and relating, but we can't do, we can't date just for the potential. This is an amazing person. They're going to one day be an amazing person, but then ignore those flags. So we've got to be looking at the flags as well. Lisa, what do you think?
Gosh, I gave it my all, because actually, like some point during the COVID, you guys had the intimacy and marriage conference, and you guys allowed a couples, engaged couples, to be a part of that, and it was online, and we did that, right? We did like a premarital counseling for 8 weeks with a local counselor, and then we did like a course of, out of Joel Osteen's ministry. We did one of those. We did a lot, but through it all, I kept seeing the red flags, right? And I've listened to New Life Live for years, probably 20 years of my life. I've listened and I've heard, you know, the advice that you've given others. And that's why I was able to go slow, you know, to go fast and to look for certain things. And we communicated, but it was just, oh, my goodness, I don't know. I
Well, actually, you did great things. And you know what? Premarital counseling, premarital counseling and going to intimacy and marriage prior to being married to learn that. That actually is a really good idea. One out of three engagements break up. And that's not a bad thing, is what I'm saying. You know, there have been times, you know, people write me and they'll read, like I said, I wrote a book called Getting Ready for Marriage, and so churches use it. And people will say, you know what, I read this and I decided to break up. And they were kind of like even angry at me. And I was like, no, this is the best news I could hear, because you wouldn't have probably done well in it. So you did the right thing. You even get more of an award on personal growth, Lisa. Now I'm even more impressed.
Two trophies.
Double winner.
Yeah. So anyway, appreciate your call, Lisa. And we're going to – what's a Henry Cloud's dating book? Sounds like a great one.
How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Yeah, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping by Dr. Henry Cloud. I really think he takes a look at dating and relating. I read the book. I just couldn't remember the title. And I really think he takes a look at – relating from a really healthy view. Henry's a healthy guy, and he writes well. So anyway, we're going to give that book to you, and we appreciate your call, Lisa, and appreciate all of you listeners. You can hear the music, so we're going to take a break. We'll come right back, and more great conversations. So good to, you know, in the multitude of counselors there is safety, is what JJ said, and that's a scripture, and you want to make sure you get the kind of counsel and wisdom. You can go to New Life Live, and you can get all kinds of great insight from books and podcasts, so many other things, and we just invite you to come to our website and join one of the intensive. We've got a Every Man's Battle intensive coming up on April 13th, and we're excited about that. So don't go away. We'll be right back, and God bless you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Jim Burns here, filling in for Stephen Arterburn, who's on sabbatical, by the way, and Sabbath is a Hebrew word that means to rest. I hope Steve's getting the rest he needs. He's done an incredible, incredible job for 35 years here at New Life, and New Life has been a light and been a help for 35 years. And, you know, we were just talking about Henry Cloud, who is a great friend of our ministry and definitely a part of the New Life world. And we're going to do a flashback, because there's such a great conversation that Steve and Henry had with Faith about a side of beef.
Hello, Faith from Paris, Texas. Listens to KWRD. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm really glad that you're taking my call. We listen to you a whole lot.
Thank you.
So I had a question about what does God's word say about parents giving gifts to their grown children?
Parents,
you know, we are financially very able to give them things or share with them.
Okay.
And the kids themselves, we raise them to not be in debt, and they are financially well, doing well. But for instance,
how old are they, and are they married?
They're in their early 20s.
Are they married?
Yep. Yeah, they are. And
why do you want to give them gifts?
Well, for instance, we're in a ranch, and we have a steer we're going to butcher.
Oh, send it to me.
And we're really curious. Should we charge them just like we would if it was a person that was buying the beef from us?
No.
Or can we? I mean, what does God say?
Well, I'm sorry. Let me. Steve's got an opinion, and then I've got one. So Steve's jumping to have his skin over here.
I mean, you know, it's a steer, and you, if you're not going to give it to the animal rights barbecue, then you know, don't. Oh my goodness, why would you not give it to them? Why would you not?
I can think of 10 reasons not to. But go ahead, Faith. What's your kind?
Well, I think, you know, I would like to share it with them. I mean, we raised them right. We've given them what they needed when they were growing up. Now they're on their own. I would like to reward them.
Let's just think of what are the chances that you're going to give them a side of beef, and over dinner eating that steak, somebody says, "Well, I guess we don't have to work anymore. They're going to feed us the rest of our lives." You know, I don't think so. Okay, but Henry's got more in-depth, real help for you here. So, okay, Henry.
All right, Faith, I'm going to ask a couple of questions.
Yeah.
First of all, are you talking about giving them a steak? Are you talking about filling their freezer so they don't have to buy food for a year?
It's a big steer.
It's a big steer, right?
We sold half of it.
Exactly.
The other half. It's
exactly.
The kids, but my husband would like us
they
to
sold
have
half
them pay.
Of, they sold
oh,
half.
Hold on a second, because I got some more questions.
Okay.
All right. Well, every year I buy about, I think it's a third of one of these.
Third.
And fill up a freezer. It's a lot cheaper if you do it that way.
You
can get better stuff, and it relieves you of having shopped for a year. But I'm going to ask you some questions.
All right. I just want to steer people in the right direction. If you'd like to give me a side of beef, I will not. I won't ever say, okay, well, I guess I don't have to work anymore because I'm just going to get a free side of beef.
Okay, Faith. Let me just, since I don't know you and I don't know them, let me give you some examples of when I would not do this.
And just say, okay, yeah, that's us or that's not us. We need
okay.
Okay. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is where Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. All right? Mm-hmm. So when you're giving somebody a side of beef as a gift, and that's purely what it is. And it doesn't get mixed up. See, impurity is when something gets mixed up with something else.
Right. No, I don't think that's...
Hold on. I'm not even finished yet.
Okay.
Now you got me worried.
Just on the
All right. There you go. All right. Let me give you five or six reasons. Okay. First of all, let's say that, for example, somebody early 20s, they're recently married. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they are just in the process of setting up their own home and their own budgets and their own ways of doing things. And they've got to really figure out how they're going to make it and figure out how to structure their finances.
Right.
And in the process of that, all of a sudden a side of beef shows up that takes care of them for the next year. And they don't really have to build that into their budget. And they go, we don't have to worry about that. Okay, so what are we going to do? And they get started down certain practices that really aren't self-sustaining. They've been augmented. And the structure of all of that gets started down a certain path that they don't have to think of.
Okay.
Number two, let's say it's so early in the marriage that they just really haven't had a clear sense of separateness to kind of be self-sustained in any way and just kind of on their own apart from all the wonderful things that the family has always provided. And it's just kind of a space and doing it on your own issue. Number three, let's say in a scenario, maybe they are a little slow to get started and be on their own and they need to feel the crunch in order to motivate them. You know, Proverbs says it's a worker's hunger that drives them to work.
They are hard workers. Yeah. Continue.
All right. Another one would be maybe there's all sorts of symbolic ways in which the family is kind of too connected, and this is kind of might be one more of those, and they don't feel like they have their own space and independence and this, that, and the other.
Okay.
There's a lot of things like that. Maybe one of the, I don't know if you said son or daughter. I think you said
both.
Son.
But, we have one and one of each.
Maybe the maybe the spouses of them want to have a little more clear-cut kind of family of their own, and this is just one more symbol of a good thing.
Holding on to.
So I don't know. All I'm saying is you have to ask those questions. And if you come out fine with all of those.
I think we would.
Well, then why? Then I'm going to ask my other question. Why was it even a concern?
Well, difference of opinion between the two of us.
Oh, what was the other opinion?
Well, he would, because he said we raise these kids right, they shouldn't, we're done. You know, we don't need to do that anymore. And I would like to just do it to reward them because of being very financially wise with their money all the time. They've been on their own, and both of them have been on their own for a number of years.
How old are they?
24 and 26.
Okay, and you never give them any money?
No, never did. They've always worked for it all the time.
And do you provide anything?
Well, they've been on their own literally even before they were married. Okay. Our son was on their own.
Do you provide anything that helps them have a better lifestyle than if you weren't in the picture?
Not really at all.
Do they work for the ranch?
Our son does.
Is he one?
And so we pay him. He actually is a fireman, and he works as a fireman, and then he also works for us on his days off. And so we pay him. He's a hard worker. And both of them are very financially stable. But my husband believes that, and we give much money to charities, but he says they're not a charity. We don't need to give them money. Or, I mean, even a side of beef, you know, that sounds like a small thing, but it's the principle, you know. We raised them right. I would like to see God rewards us when we do things right. I would like to reward our kids in a small way. I mean, this is just a small thing. I know.
I just think you know, there's enough fuzziness between you and your husband about this that I would have some further conversations.
Definitely. And I was wondering, is there any scripture that says,
yes,
other than like what I said, you know, give good, you know, he says.
Let me tell you the scripture. The scripture is, I think, at least one of them, is the created order about marriage, where it says that there's a leaving and a cleaving. And I think, among other things, what the leaving and cleaving means is for sustenance and who people depend on. And if it's not going to interrupt that in any way, then generally it would be an okay thing. But it shouldn't be something to divide you and your husband. You got to get on the same page first.
Great insight from Henry and Steve. That's kind of one of our flashbacks. We're so glad you're with us today. Go to newlife.com if we can help you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.